Welcome to the Watchman Channel. This channel is all about world news and Bible prophecy, pointing to the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am asking that if you can, to please help to financially support this ministry. If you feel led to pledge any amount of money, it would be extremely helpful and greatly appreciated. There is a PayPal link in the description box and in my pinned comment below. You can also donate using Cash App. My cash tag is $Watchman1963. Thank you all so much for your prayers and support. God bless.
2 Timothy 3, 1-13. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Joe Biden just gave Title IX a sex change. The landmark sexual discrimination law, which opened the doors for women in sports, education in the workplace, just got transitioned on Friday after the Biden administration expanded Title IX to include transgender. The change would potentially undo bathroom bills in 10 states, forcing schools to let trans students use whatever locker room or bathroom they want. The government's putting the interests of deranged surgeons above the rights and safety of young women. A 12-year-old little girl got her skull bashed in by another student at an elementary school outside of Philly. And parents say the attacker is a boy who identifies as a girl, and the school's covering it up.
This was a teenage boy who beat on a little girl. All right? Call it what it is. I don't care. Don't look at me like that, Mr. Fusco. You're a father. What if that was your daughter? What if that was your daughter? How come none of the articles said that it was a boy attacking a girl? How come half the people here kept switching between he and she? If this kid was protected simply because they were trans and not because of any other reason, that's not cool. They have a violent past.
Security tapes, which the school's hiding, show the attacker sneak up on the girl and beat her repeatedly in the head with one of those big metal Stanley cups, screaming, crying, blood everywhere. It went down in the middle of the lunchroom, and the entire student body's traumatized. Parents say the school was tipped off about the attack. A group of girls found out the trans student had a hit list of girls to bludgeon. So they did the right thing and told adults multiple times that day, who ignored it.
I went to the guidance counselor and told her since I was second on the hit list, knowing that there was something going to happen, because I was told, watch your back. He is going to come for you. I was terrified, and I told Miss Vittori that was happening, and she said, don't worry about it, it's not gonna happen. And laying in bed last night, I just kept repeating it in my head, and we shouldn't have had to sit there, watch her repeatedly yelling that I'm gonna murder you, and just hitting her with a Stanley. And I don't get how, you couldn't have stopped it. It was 5 hours from when I told you it was gonna happen.
And this mother reported a separate threat the student made to her daughter just days before.
If it was taken serious by multiple complaints, that little girl would have been in school today. And my daughter is traumatized.
So the transgender suspect was arraigned this morning where he, you're not going to believe this, hit a sheriff's deputy with a water jug and could face new charges for that assault. Primetime reached out to the school for comment. They had nothing to add.
We now live in an Isaiah 5:20 world where evil is good and good is evil, where the sin of being a homosexual or transgender is openly celebrated and even glorified. One of the many signs that we are living in the end times is the epidemic of homosexuality that is sweeping the world today. Jesus said he would return at a time when society parallels the days of Lot, as we read in Luke 17:28 through 30. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. To find out what parallels our days with the days of Lot, we need to go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis 19:1-5. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way." They said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them." The term "know them" isn't a friendly handshake and how are you. It is to know them in a sexual way. What parallels our days with the days of Lot is homosexuality. Just as in the days of Lot, not only is homosexuality widely accepted today, but it's being taught to our kids, just like in Sodom, as we read in verse 4. The men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house.
Young is the Hebrew word nar, which means a boy, from the age of infancy to adolescence.
There are many people within the church who are teaching that homosexuality is not a sin, when scripture clearly says it is. This is another sign Jesus gave to look for prior to his second coming, as we read in Matthew 24:11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Homosexuality is strongly condemned in the Bible. Ezekiel 16:49-50. "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and an abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw fit." What was this prideful abomination committed before God? The answer is found in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 18:22. "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Leviticus 20:13. "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." God gives mankind a dire warning for the acts of homosexuality in 2 Peter 2:6. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly." God also offers forgiveness to those who are living a life of homosexuality, as we read in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Colossians 2:8. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ."
One of the biggest Protestant groups in the country now reevaluating its future tonight. We're talking about the United Methodist Church, with leaders from around the world set to meet for the first time in nearly a decade tomorrow. This is a landmark moment for the church, and it comes after about a quarter of churches in the United States left the denomination over the course of the last few years because of disagreements about modernization, essentially. Right now, the United Methodist Church bans same-sex marriage and openly LGBTQ clergy, which has some members divided.
As Methodists, I was raised as a Methodist to believe that we all have a place at the table. Now, if you want to deny me my place at the table, then that's when we get into problems, you know, and it begins to be problematic. We have got to contextualize how we do church. so that the church can meet the needs, not just of us here in the United States, but of Methodists around the world.
Reverend Kimberly Scott there, she is a queer Black pastor who talks about being a minority in a minority in this church, but that it's something, it's a place where she's needed to feel accepted and wants to be part of the transformation and the change.
The Word of God proclaims, "Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence." 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. In the church, God assigns different roles to men and women. God, through the Apostle Paul, restricts women from serving in roles of teaching or having spiritual authority over men. This precludes women from serving as pastors over men, which definitely includes preaching to them, teaching them, and exercising spiritual authority over them. God has ordained that only men are to serve in positions of spiritual teaching authority in the church. This is not because men are necessarily better teachers or because women are inferior or less intelligent. It is simply the way God designed the church to function. The Bible is clear on the qualifications for being a pastor. He must not be greedy for money and have a good testimony to the unsaved, as we read in 1 Timothy 3, 1-7. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop that must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil.
Notice that the Apostle Paul used the pronouns he and his, and that a bishop or pastor must be the husband of one wife, not the wife of one husband. Scripture clearly teaches that women cannot be pastors.
Today is the first day of the United Methodist Church's General Conference in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Madison Rio spent the day talking with a pastor at a local United Methodist church. She's got you covered on how decisions made at the conference could either harm or help the LGBTQ community.
Between 2019 and 2023, the United Methodist Church has reported more than 7,600 mostly conservative congregations have left the denomination due to the church not requiring the enforcement of bans on same-sex marriage and having LGBTQ clergy members.
There have been multiple organizations working to keep the language in, which has been very frustrating. And so the church continues to cause harm in so many different areas, but especially in the area of our LGBTQ siblings.
Reverend Kathy Wiegand is the lead pastor at First United Methodist Church in Madison. Tuesday is the first day of the denomination's general conference where that language will be decided.
The church here acknowledges that harm has been caused in the queer community and that spiritual harm has been perpetuated by our denomination and by our churches.
She strongly believes in changing the language in the church's law to be more accepting of the LGBTQ community.
She adds, there are United Methodist churches in Madison who have left due to the changes. However, there are also people who have left due to the lack of change.
Some people will no longer ever be part of the United Methodist Church because it's taken us so long to make a decision that is loving and just and kind.
The conference lasts 2 weeks. At the end, decisions will be made on whether language in church law will change.
Acts 5:29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men."
As a sign of his coming and the end of the age, Jesus said there would be a falling away from the Christian faith, and false teachers would rise up, as we read in Matthew 24:10-11. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. The Bible tells us these false prophets will twist God's word, as we read in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, as written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. The Bible goes on to tell us that these false teachers are Satan's servants, as we read in 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. The last days church will not follow the truth in the Bible. They will find false teachers to tell them their sin is okay. And not just that it is okay, but it is biblical, as we read in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. This is what last days Christianity looks like. It is a Christianity that says there are many paths to heaven, when the Bible clearly says Jesus Christ is the only way. It is a Christianity that approves of homosexuality, fornication. If you are having sex and you are not married, it's not called dating, it's called fornication. And abortion, even though God says these things are sin. It is a Christianity that in its church services look just like the world. Jesus goes on to tell us the last days church will be such a worldly, Christ-rejecting church that he has been thrown out, as we read in Revelation 3:14-22. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In these verses of Scripture, Jesus is talking about the last day's lukewarm church, a church that has one foot in the world and one foot in the church. This church is so disgustingly lukewarm that Jesus vomits it out of his mouth. Jesus counsels the last day's church to buy from him gold, which is purity, white garments, which is righteousness, and eye salve, which is truth. These three things can only come from the purity, righteousness, and truth that Jesus offers through salvation in him. Jesus is now standing outside the door of the last day's Laodicean church, offering salvation to anyone who will listen. This is the grace and mercy of God. He has been kicked out of his own church, and yet still knocks and offers salvation to anyone who hears his voice and opens the door. I implore you today, if you are not saved, or are a lukewarm Christian, to take up Jesus' offer of salvation that can only be received through him and only him. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
The signs of Jesus' soon return are so strong now, and the evidence is so clear, that any person willing to accept the truth can see that the end of the world, as we know it, is near. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. These are the ABCs of salvation. A. Admit that you're a sinner. B. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and God raised him from the dead. C. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. Jesus paid the price for mankind's sin. He has provided a way to spend eternity
with him and the Father. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. God has already done all the work. All you must do is receive, in faith, the salvation God offers. Fully trust in Jesus alone as the payment for your sins. Believe in him, and you will not perish. God is offering you salvation as a gift. All you have to do is accept it. Jesus is the only way of salvation. That being said, we must repent of our sins. While repentance is not a work that earns salvation, repentance unto salvation does result in works. It is impossible to truly and fully change your mind without that causing a change in action. In the Bible, repentance results in a change in behavior. Repentance, properly defined, is necessary for salvation.
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
Time is short. Call upon the name of Jesus today.